Well, let's bow and pray. Father, thank you for all your faithful servants coming out tonight. And I pray, Lord, that our faith will be increased, it'll be restored, it'll be made new by the end of the service. In your name, amen. Let's turn to, if you have your Bible, to Romans 17. Nope, Romans 4. How about verse 17? All right, and it says, as it is written, I have made you a father of many nations. He is our father in the sight of God, in whom he believed. The God who gives life to the dead and calls into being things that were not. Against all hope, Abraham in hope believed, and so became the father of many nations, just as it had been said to him. So shall your offspring be. Without weakening in his faith, he faced that fact that his body was as good as dead, since he was about 100 years old, and that Sarah's womb was also dead. Yet he did not waver through unbelief regarding the promises of God, but was strengthened in faith and gave glory to God, being fully persuaded that God had power to do what he had promised. So my Bible study tonight is about being fully persuaded. And see, Abraham was the physical and the spiritual leader. However, Abraham's son was a miracle, but not the immaculate conception like we think when Jesus was born, but yet a miracle all by itself. See, Sarah and Abraham were old, past the time, you know, to have a baby, but they believed what God said. Yeah, they had to do some married things. Otherwise, it wasn't going to happen. But you know what? They trusted God would take care of the rest at 100 years old. And I know there's a country song out there somewhere that says, you know, let go and let God do the everything. Well, I'm saying tonight, having faith doesn't mean sitting around. Having faith means having obedience to follow through. And, you know, and God's going to work with you. So you put that together, so God's first move. It's already been done. It's already written. This is his first move. He's waiting for our move. He's waiting for us to take a step. He gave his word. It's sort of like a chess or a checkers game. He gave the word, so he gave the first move. He's waiting for us to make the next move. And then he'll make a move, then we make a move. And so it goes back and forth. But you need to mix your faith with obedience. You need to mix faith with obedience. So are we fully persuaded is what you need to think about. You know, we just had some people go to the pastor's conference. I mean, are you fully persuaded what you heard there is going to carry on here? Are you fully persuaded? And we just had the Super Bowl. And, you know, you watch the commercials, and commercials come in all sorts of ways. Some are bribery. They bribe you. You know, you'll get a gift for buying something. You get a reward. You get a rebate. Sometimes commercials come in promising something new. This is new, and you got to have it. Or it's a proven fact. You know, this gadget is proven to work. You need to buy it. Or others like it. Or, wow, this vacuum, boy, does it work easy. It works super easy. You need to have it. Or it's inexpensive. And they don't always, maybe they don't lie to you, but they mislead you. If you have a teenager and you ask them what they're doing and they say nothing, they're not telling you the whole truth. They're leaving out some things going on there. And commercials do that. Some commercials are repetition. They get in your brain. Right? And then there's also flattery. Wow, man, you know what a good deal is. You really know. And so you buy, they want you to buy something. But are we fully persuaded on God's word? If you think like the commercials, are we fully persuaded in this? And how did Abraham stay fully persuaded? Well, he stayed focused on the promises of God. He would not let his unbelief enter in. The longer he stayed focused, the longer he was fully persuaded. But it comes through baby steps. It just doesn't happen right away. It's a little step here, a little step there. Like that chess game. One move, then another move. And so I thought, well, what gets in the way? And when I was putting this together, I put down this scripture verse. It was Isaiah 43:18. And then, I think it was 2 weeks ago, Aaron, you preached on it. I said, oh, man, now I'm going to take it out. I'm not going to preach on it. And I'm not going to spend my whole time on it. But you know what? I kept it in because I felt it was lined up with what I needed to say. So what gets in our way of being fully persuaded? And that is what Isaiah 43:18 says. Forget the former things and do not dwell on the past. But did you know, remember, the word remember is in the Bible 146 times. So God put it there. He doesn't want us just to forget the past. He does want you to remember it. He doesn't want you to dwell on it. If you're stuck in failure, if you're stuck in the sin, if you're stuck in that, those are the things God's are saying. You know, leave that behind and let's move forward and onto something new. But leave what that is. You know, don't forget everything. He doesn't want you to erase your memory. Otherwise, he wouldn't have put it in the Bible that many times. But there's two things that come up to me when about the former things. One is pain. We've gone through pain. It's happened. Maybe it lasted a moment. Maybe the pain was a season in your life. But you might be stuck on that. And the pain may have come through a person. And if it did, the Bible has something to say about that, about forgiveness. And I read something about here's a quote from somebody, I don't know where it came from, but forgiveness is like setting someone free and realizing the prisoner was you. Mark 11:25 says, and when you stand praying, if you hold anything against anyone, forgive them. So that your Father in heaven may forgive you. The Message Bible says he wants to wipe your slate clean of sins. But we need to put a forgiveness there. If you put forgiveness in, then you can get past whatever's holding you back. The second thing is our mistakes. Man, I should have done that. I wish I would have done that. Or the woulda, coulda, shouldas. That holds you back. That ties you up. Romans 3:23 says we all fall short of the glory of God. But you know what? God is bigger than that. God is bigger than our mistakes. God is bigger than the things we should have done, we would have done, we could have done. 2 Corinthians 12:9 says, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in your weakness. So God is bigger than the things, the pain, anything in the past. We need to move past those things. That's how we get to be fully persuaded. And we're going to talk about Abraham's life. He didn't make all the right decisions. And nor do we. But now, as Paul Harvey used to say, now it's time for the rest of the story here. Words of encouragement came from Abraham. Genesis 22:17. I will surely bless you and make your descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and the sand on the seashore. Your descendants will take possessions of the cities of the enemies. So every time Abraham got up at night, or every time he was walking out in the sand, and, you know, he's walking around in the sand, and they didn't have shoes like we do, so he takes off his sandal, and what? He dumps out the sand. Well, as he's dumping out the sand, he's like, oh, God, thank you for remembering. I got to remember that promise you told me. So he gets at home at night, you know, does the same thing, dumps out his shoe. More sand falls out. Ah, he remembers. Thank you, God, for reminding me of the promise you gave me. Wakes up at night to go to the bathroom. Looks up. Stars. Lots of stars. Ah, thank you, God, for reminding me of the promises you gave me. See, his faith was restored. His faith was made new again. So like him, we can't let outside circumstances interfere with our faith. We cannot let outside circumstances interfere with our faith. Can't let it get a foothold. And here's my example is when last year, Jordan's running track in high school, record-setting, Section 5 champion. Boy, that guy could run. And so it was one of his last races of his senior year. And I'm going to put you in a mindset of high school track. If it might have been a few years since you've seen it. But they run it like the Olympics. Photo finishes. They do have photo finishes now. It's all digital. No longer the hand timer. Like the Olympic, it's all digital. They have, you know, it's all set up that way. Cameras all laid out for you. And they run one event after another event after another event. Things go fast. You know, hundreds of kids running all the events. So here's a lot of activity. And so that's what's happening at the track meet. So, you know, the kids, and Jordan's in the finals of this heat. You know, the kids are running. Next group of kids, as soon as they're done, immediately, another group of kids gets up. Bang, they run. And so, you know, the events are going off. Jordan gets on. He runs his race. He gets done. And everything's digital. So immediately, I mean, there's a lane. It's a digital readout. First place, this time, this person. Second place, this time, and so on. And so the eight lanes come up. You see Jordan's name and his time and what place he got. And it's also on your phone. You can check it out. Bet you look on it. Oh, there it is. It's already there. It's that quick. Things are done now. And so these things are happening. So the heat's going off. Jordan gets up. Jordan runs. It gets done. Oh, there's his time. There's his place. He did good. And so we're talking. You know, my wife and I are talking. And then we look again, and it says, you know, lane whatever, 2, 3, you know, DQ'd. What do you mean DQ'd? Disqualified? What happened? So I look on the phone. Yep, it's DQ'd, and it was called a lane violation. Thinking, what? Jordan, he's never crossed the other person's lane before. There's referees all over. I think there's 4 of them. They're all around the track so they can see what's going on. And so then we hear, Byron Bergen, coach, you know, report to the infield. I'm like, oh, man, this is not good. And so we started praying. My wife and I were praying. We're praying, Lord, please overturn this. If there's any way that this can be resolved, please let it be resolved. And we're praying and praying. And I videotape everything. So I videotaped this race. I have it on here if you want to see it. We can show it tonight. So it's just what I do. So I go down. I brought this with me. I was going to show the coach. And I get to the coach, and we started, you know, talking about what had happened. He said, well, what was going on was, you know, the race right before, that person in Jordan's lane got DQ'd. But because things happened so fast, it looked like when Jordan ran, he was the one that got DQ'd. But you know what? They overturned it. They figured it out. They fixed it. But you can't let outside circumstances interfere with your faith. We could have given up like, oh, what happened, and then just said, oh, we're done. No, we prayed. We used our faith. And I believe things get overturned and straightened out because of that. And here's another idea with that. That some people, you hear the promises of God, you read it for a moment, say, oh, that's good. But it's like, I think people, there's 2 types of people when they go swimming. There's a person that see it's a hot day, they're ready, there's a pool, they just run in and jump in. There's that type of person, the fearless person. Then there's a person, and guess what? They walk up to the pool, they dip their toe in. Whoa, whew, I'm not going in today. Man, it's too cold. 2 types of people. 2 types of people that read the word. Person that dips their toes in. And there's a person that's fully persuaded. And then they run and they jump in that water. But you know what? The water's the same either way. Whether you're running full speed in or you just dip your toe in. And the word's the same either way. You dip your toe in or you're fully persuaded. So we need to be fully persuaded. We need to get past dipping our toe in and testing it. Ah, it's good today. this word was good today, but I don't like that word. No, be fully persuaded. Abraham, in verse 19 in the scripture says, Abraham did not waver in his faith. And then if you read verse 20, yet he did not waver through unbelief, but what? The promise of God, but was strengthened in his faith. And he gave glory to God. And Galatians 6:9 says, do not worry while you're waiting. The harvest will come at the right moment. But guess what? Jump in with both feet. Be fully persuaded. James 1:6 says, when you doubt, you're like the wave of the sea. You're going back and forth. Boy, you're moving a lot, but you're not getting anywhere. You're just moving back and forth. Verse 21, being fully persuaded that God had power to do what he had promised. He was fully persuaded. 100 years old, having a baby, fully persuaded. Fully persuaded. Fully. Where did this begin? Where did this begin? It began with verse 13. It was not through the law that Abraham and his offspring received the promise that would be the heir to the world, but through righteousness that comes by faith. This began by him being right standing with God. This began by faith. Verse 18 it explains the situation. Against all hope, Abraham in hope believed, and so became the father of many nations, just as it was said to him, so shall your offspring be, fully persuaded. Genesis 2:17, surely I'll bless you and make your descendants as numerous as stars in the sky and the sand in the seashore. Just whisper to your neighbor for a moment. The sand in his hand. Tell your neighbor how many grains of sand you think are in one person's hand. You can whisper, go ahead. Will you do that for me and be right back? Well, I didn't hear too many large numbers, but I checked it out. You know, I Googled it like Marty checks out things too. That's what we do. 400,000 to 1 million grains of sand in one hand. Man, that's a lot. But you pick up the sand and it kind of falls through your fingers and it's a nice, hot, warm day. And it's just falling through. And, you know, maybe the sand was wet, so it clumped together. So that's where maybe that million came from. But 400,000 grains of sand just slipping through your fingers on that hot day. But he's blessed. Abraham was blessed. As numerous as that. Man, but crazy to believe. Only this could happen if God came through on his promises. Genesis 22:15-18. Why Abraham, I think. Why this guy? Why not somebody else? Verse 15 says, And the angel of the Lord called Abraham from heaven the second time and said, I swear by myself, declares the Lord, that because you have done this, you have not withheld your son, your only son, I will surely bless you and make your descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and the sand on the seashore and as the sand which is on the seashore. Your descendants will take possessions of the cities of their enemies. And through your offspring, all the nations of the earth will be blessed. But man, how did he get there? Sacrifice your son? Really? How did he get there? Well, here are some ways that he got there. The home test, I'm going to call it. Scripture says, you know, God told him, go to the land I will show you. Go, he said. Abraham got up, packed up his family, and left. He passed that test. Called the flock test. Abraham offered Lot, his nephew Lot, the best land at one point. You pick where you want to go. God honored that decision. Passed that test. The family test. Abraham tried to fulfill God's promises of descendants on his own way, his own earthly way. And Abraham had a child, not with his wife, failed that test. And then something I just have to read here. I just can't believe he did this, but he did. Genesis 12. Let me get there really quick. Genesis 12, starting with verse 10. So here's Abraham, the father of our faith. So verse 10 says, "Now there was a famine in the land, and Abram went down to Egypt to live there for a while because the famine was severe. As he was about to enter Egypt, he said to his wife, Sarah, 'I know what a beautiful woman you are. When the Egyptians see you, they will say, "This is his wife." Then they will kill me and let you live. Say you are my sister so that I will be treated well for your sake and my life will be spared because of you.' When Abram came to Egypt, the Egyptians saw that Sarah was a beautiful woman. And when officials saw her, they praised to Pharaoh, and she was taken into his palace. He treated Abram well for her sake, and Abram acquired sheep, cattle, male and female donkeys, male and female servants, and camels." Here's Abraham, father of our faith. What does he do to save his own butt? Gives up his wife. Gives up his wife. I just can't imagine that when they got you reunited. And how long was he there? She was there a long time. Because he ended up getting acquired sheep and cattle, male and female donkeys, male and female servants and camels. She was there a long time. Not a happy Valentine's Day, I'm sure. I just don't see that happening. But he did this just to save his own butt there. And so what I brought that in just to show you that Abraham had setbacks, like we do. We go forward, we go back a little bit. But the way I think of it is, it should go up like this. You know, we go down a little bit, but there's a steady increase. And we can avoid a lot of things if we're steadily moving forward. You know, we're going to get some dips, but keep moving forward. And of course, he passed the Isaac test, the biggest test of all. He passed it. Fully persuaded. Fully persuaded. Romans 4, verse 22 really puts it in a nutshell for us. If he could say anything about Abraham, this is why it was credited to him as righteousness. As righteousness. Those are powerful words. If somebody could say something about you, this would be something they have said. It was credited to him because right standing with God. So are we fully persuaded? Are we fully persuaded to, when we get to something, to go in with both feet? Are we fully persuaded to jump in with both feet? Are we just going to dip our toe in? It's the same way, either way. It's God's word. His promises are true. But are we fully persuaded? So how did he stay that way? He didn't allow unbelief to enter into his thoughts. He kept them away. And the longer he stayed focused, the more he was persuaded. He was ready to make the next step, ready to jump in to test the waters, per se. So we need to follow the principles of the Bible here. We just can't get in there, you know, the times we want to. We need to get in there all the time. We need to feel the rushing of the water. We need to feel that around us. And we can't go in until the waters have dried up. We can't wait till the waters dry up. Because if we wait, the waters will, they could dry up, I should say. I'm not going to say they're going to dry up. We just can't wait till you think it's safe to jump in. So I'm going to end with that. I really feel the need, though, that we need to be fully persuaded. We need to be fully persuaded. To make the next step, you need to be fully persuaded. To make the next step in your life, whatever you want to do, the new thing God has for you, you need to be fully persuaded.
I had absolutely no plan on saying anything tonight. My dad handed the mic over to Sam and said, "Why don't you close out tonight?" I just want to say, whew, don't know about you, but I need work. I'm being fully convinced all the time. Anybody with me? He was fully convinced, and I'm so glad you went back to when he wasn't. And I want to say this. I want to give you an opportunity tonight to let the Holy Spirit work in your heart. Debbie, maybe if you come to the piano. But I'm thinking of D. I'm sitting here thinking of 15 years ago when you were singing on the backup mics, going through hell, high water, when it was a struggle to be convinced, when it was hard to be convinced, when getting up and coming to church was just a fight in itself. And you put one foot in front of the other and came and got a mic and sang unto the Lord. And you ministered to people in your weakness and in your brokenness. Would you come up here? Phil, would you come down here? I don't know about you, but it's easy to come to church and come to a place where you're not always fully convinced. You can get mad at people. You can get upset. You can get hurt by people. And sometimes it's work to just to get out of the bed in the morning. I wanted to read this to you. Being fully convinced what he had been promised, he was also able to perform it. And therefore it was accounted to him for righteousness. Let me read this to you. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through him also we have had access by faith into grace, in which we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. You need peace with God. I need peace with God. I felt in my spirit so strong that there's more than one. You say, Ryan, you say, Phil, I need peace with God. I need help being able to put just one foot in front of the other. I don't even know if I can make it one more day. You're not alone. You're justified through faith. And that's how you become convinced. Amen. I want to give you the opportunity. I want to pray. And I'm just so thankful to have great servants. You know, a lot of things happen around here. A lot of things happen. And it just doesn't happen without faithful, convinced people. So I want to say tonight, thank you for being convinced. Thank you for being convinced even when it was hard, D. Thank you for showing up even when it was hard, Phil. Thank you for getting up at the crack of dawn and ministering to people even when sometimes it's not easy. Would you stretch your hand towards them tonight? Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you for those faithful ones. Those ones who stay convinced even though there's crying in the night and there's mourning in the morning. Father, in Jesus' name, I ask that you would raise up many more who would be convinced, that their faith would be strengthened through your grace and through your power. We receive of your grace and your mercy tonight. We don't have it all together. We're messed up. We have crooks and crevices that no one knows of. But Father, by your grace, we've been justified. And we just want to say thank you tonight, O Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. I want you to do something before you leave. Don't just run out the back door. If you're struggling, just putting one foot in front of the other. Just getting out of bed sometimes is a struggle. I want you to come right down the middle here, and I want you to let Phil and Dee pray for you tonight. I love you guys. It's good to be home. There's no place like home. And we'll see you soon. God bless you.